North Carolina's agriculture industry supplies nearly a fifth of the state's jobs and revenue, according to the Department of Agriculture. It's also perhaps the industry most threatened by the increasing temperatures and extreme weather associated with climate change. But studies show only a minority of farmers believe in it. In the final part of this week's climate change series, WFAE's Ben Bradford reports how the industry is unintentionally preparing.
Brent Barbie's family has been farming the same ground in Concord for over 100 years. He grows peaches, strawberries, blueberries, sweet corn, tomatoes, and he knows something's up with the weather.
We've had record lows and then record highs and then record lows and then record highs.
Last year, the heavy rains washed out about a fifth of their crop. This year, the polar vortex delayed by 3 weeks what's become an unseasonably warm spring season.
There's only so much you can do. I mean, like, look down across the cantaloupe field.
Sheets of white and black plastic stretch across portions of the field. They absorb or reflect the sun to adjust temperature.
You got black plastic for first, second, and third crop, and then white for everything after that. That basically cools the ground temperature so we're not blistering the plants when we're setting them. That's a way we can plan.
But generally, Barbie will cope with what weather he's given, the same way farmers have throughout history. He'll sketch out a general strategy in winter about where and how much of each crop to plant, but that's as long range as it gets. He doesn't believe in climate change, or at least not that it's man-made, and he isn't worrying about its effects.
You can't do anything about it. All we can do is pump more water and drink more ice water and complain about it being hot.
It's a common view among the state's farmers. A recent North Carolina State University study finds only about 1 in 3 believe in climate change, far lower than the general populace. Isn't that concerning? I mean, the science points to big impacts on agriculture from more severe extreme weather, flooding, droughts, freezes, hurricanes, along with higher average temperatures. I asked Steve McNulty, he's a climate scientist, the director, actually, of the Southeast Regional Climate Change Hub, for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And his answer sounds a lot like Barbie's.
About a year out is the max that the farmers really plan for. So if it's a, you know, whatever degree increase in temperature at some point, 100 years or 50 years or even 10 years from now, that really doesn't have a lot of impact in the short term.
McNulty says it doesn't matter that farmers don't believe in climate change, since they don't have to plan decades ahead. And they already have the tools to deal with short-term changes, like Barbie's plastic. Unlike farmland, forestry does require decades of forethought. With the state already seeing increased droughts and wildfires, Sean Brogan of North Carolina's Forest Service works with landowners to prepare for climate change's effects, while avoiding those two words.
I really try not to bang people over the head with climate change, because if you really talk to folks about that, you lose them.
Brogan says he concentrates on techniques that prepare landowners for a less friendly climate, but help even in the current one, things like prescribed fires and thinning out trees. That principle applies across much of agriculture, and it's one reason that the industry is preparing without necessarily knowing it. Back on Barbie Farm, the crew is perched atop the greenhouse and dragging up a lightweight black cloth.
This is about a 50% shake off. We're pulling it over top of the greenhouse to try to block some of the sun, keep it from getting quite as hot inside.
Barbie says between that and the fans inside, he can keep ripening tomatoes and cucumbers at the best temperature. Later, he'll plant a different variety of tomato, his hot set, which is acclimated to the summer heat. North Carolina Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler says the industry always wants tools to combat extreme weather, for instance, hardier seeds.
We know the effects of enhanced seeds in droughts. We know that already. No matter whether it's a result of climate change or it's just a weather pattern. So all of that is already in the works.
The Department of Agriculture doesn't have a policy on climate change, but it supports 18 research stations around North Carolina. The agency says the state's blueberry crop withstood the cold this year, in part because of breeds developed at its Castle Hayne station near Wilmington. Similarly, programs to expand irrigation will help with future droughts and could be critical in a warmer climate.
If we look at the Southeast compared with an area like California, they're running out of water. Well, we have that water.
University of Florida agriculture professor Keith Ingram leads the Southeast Climate Consortium, and he contributed heavily to the National Climate Assessment. Despite current and future advances, we can only mitigate so much, Ingram says.
There are some things that we just can't adapt it to.
He says expect warmer temperatures to hurt dairy production, livestock, cotton, peanuts, and some tree crops. Agriculture Commissioner Troxler counters that the change could support new crops, such as citrus. But the cost and danger to North Carolina farmers is that they've prepared for the climate we have, not the one we'll get. For WFAE News, I'm Ben Bradford.